Welcome to my audio journal. It's me, Bree, and I'm just hanging out. Today is April 16th, 2024, and it's 5:24 p.m. And Starshine is in the other room, and Sydney is here on the bed with me. And I was just petting Starshine a few minutes ago, and I hear a dog barking outside. I still haven't met my neighbors, and I don't really want to. I'm way too shy. So yeah, I hope I never have to meet anyone. I'm not good in social situations. I'm only comfortable when I'm around my dad. But anyway, so Starshine is in the other room, and Sydney's on the bed with me, and so Starshine is on his chair in the other room, looking out the window. He's overseeing his empire. He's the boss, needs the info. Starshine woke me up in the middle of the night again. He woke me up at around 2:30 a.m. So I had to wake up, stumble out of bed, and open up a can of cat food for him, and then go back to sleep. But then he kept meowing, like later on, like a few hours later, he kept meowing. Because that's what he does. He wants me to wake up so early. He wants me to be on his schedule. And he has the craziest schedule ever. He sleeps from 9 a.m. to like 11 a.m. and then again from like 4 p.m. to like 6 p.m. I don't know. He has a really weird sleep schedule. I think all cats have a weird sleep schedule. But he wants me to be on the same sleep schedule as him. Like, he wants me to be awake whenever he's awake. And he wants me to sleep when he's sleeping too. So maybe that's the solution. Maybe whenever I see him taking a nap, I should just take a nap. And then when he wakes up, he can wake me up too. Like, maybe we need a system like that going on. And so, yeah, I was up at 6:30 a.m. because he kept meowing. And I was hearing the animals under the house again. Like, throughout the day, I've been hearing the noises underneath the house again. And it honestly sounded like someone was moving furniture under there, like under the house, like moving a piece of furniture. I was like, wow, these raccoons are really getting emboldened. Like, now they're starting to move furniture into the place. Like, next thing they'll be inviting me over to check out what they've done with this space. But that's what I'm afraid of. I'm afraid they're going to get too emboldened and get too comfortable being down there after a while. Soon they'll claim squatter's rights and like take me to court if I try to close up the opening and lock them out. So that's why we need that one-way door put over that small opening on the side of the house as soon as possible. And so my dad is away for a few more days. He's coming back on Friday, and I'll see him on Saturday. And he's going to have, like, either the pest control person. They were supposed to get back to us, but they never did with an estimate on the one-way door thing. But if that doesn't work out, then he's just going to have, like, a handyman install it. Hopefully a handyman will figure out what needs to be done. Because it can't just be a regular one-sided door. It has to have a lot of force, so that whatever is under there, when they leave, that they can't get back in. So whenever I hear them, like I said, I'll bang on the floor and growl sometimes to try to scare them away. But pretty soon that's not going to work. After a while, they're just not going to care. They act like they own the place now. Last time I banged on the floor, I think I heard it bang back. Soon I'll hear music blasting from underneath the house, and soon they'll be the ones banging on the floor from below, like telling me to keep the noise down. They'll be knocking on the door, like telling me I'm being too loud. I have a monologue written about this situation. So pretend we're at a comedy club and it's a dimly lit stage with just a spotlight shining on me. And I walk up and I grab the microphone. Is this thing on? You ever have that feeling like you're sharing your home with some uninvited furry tenants? Yeah, I'm not talking about your in-laws overstaying their welcome. I'm talking about those critters who've set up shop under your house like they've signed a lease with Mother Nature herself. Picture this. You're sitting on your couch enjoying a peaceful evening when suddenly you hear scritch, scratch. At first you think it's just the house settling, but then it gets louder. Scritch, scratch, thump. It's like the Animal Kingdom version of a Netflix binge going on under there. So there you are, stuck in a standoff with a bunch of critters who've turned your home sweet home into a wildlife refuge. So, being the brave soul you are, you grab a flashlight and decide to investigate. You peek under the house, and what do you find? A full-blown wildlife convention. There's a raccoon holding court like he's mayor of Mischief Town. And a family of skunks having a dinner party. And guess who's on the menu? And a squirrel with grand plans to turn your attic into a nut storage facility. You politely ask them to leave, but oh no, they're not budging. The raccoon gives you this look like, buddy, you're in my house now. And the skunks? Well, let's just say they've got a sense of entitlement. You try reasoning with them, explaining that you need your space back, but they're not having it. They've claimed squatters' rights, and they're not giving up their prime real estate without a fight. You even try bargaining with them, offering up some snacks as a peace offering, but apparently your taste in garbage doesn't quite match theirs. Who knew raccoons were such food snobs? You start to wonder if maybe you should just embrace it. Yeah, after all, who needs cable when you've got front row seats to the Animal Olympics under your floorboards? But then you remember something important. You're not just a homeowner, you're the queen of the castle. So you roll up your sleeves, grab your trusty broom, and prepare for battle. It's you versus the creatures of the underhouse, and you're not backing down. And as you chase them out one by one, you can't help but feel a sense of victory. You may have lost the battle for your house, but you've won the war for your sanity. So take that, furry freeloaders. This house is a human-only zone, and you're not welcome here. So, ChatGPT actually wrote that monologue. I wrote everything before it. I wrote like, okay, I was being funny, but then I started reading that monologue that I had ChatGPT write. And so, yeah, this is another thing that ChatGPT wrote. Hang on. Okay, ready? Okay. You know, I always thought sharing is caring, but I never expected my house to become the hottest spot in town for the local wildlife. It's like I put up a vacancy sign and every critter in the neighborhood RSVP'd. First, it was the raccoons. I swear, they've got more attitude than a teenager with a curfew. I asked them nicely to leave, but they just gave me this look like, make me. And let me tell you, negotiating with a raccoon is about as productive as trying to teach a fish to ride a bicycle. Then there's the skunks. Those guys have a nose for trouble. I tried to reason with them, but they're as stubborn as, well, a skunk. And let's just say I wasn't prepared to smell like a garbage dump for the next week. But the real kicker, the squirrels. You'd think they'd be happy with all the trees outside, but nope. They had their eyes set on my house. I caught one of them trying to move in with a suitcase full of acorns. I said no, but he just gave me this confused look like, what do you mean I can't have room service? So there I was, playing landlord to a bunch of furry freeloaders who were squatting in my home like they'd bought it on eBay. I even tried to evict them by blasting some smooth jazz under the house, thinking they'd hate it as much as I do, but apparently raccoons have a thing for saxophones. But you know what? After a while, I started to see the silver lining. I mean, who needs cable when you've got a front row seat to the Animal Kingdom's version of Survivor Under the House Edition? And hey, if nothing else, at least I've got some entertaining stories to tell at the next neighborhood barbecue. So here's to my not-so-furry roommates. May they find a new place to crash that's not mine. And if they ever decide to start paying rent, well, I'll leave the key under the mat. But until then, it's time for this homeowner to take back what's hers. Wildlife, consider this your official eviction notice. That one was a little better. So now I think I'm going to step aside because that seems like the thing to do. And I will play a song and be back in a moment. Alleluia, 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 Angels on Vacation by Weezer.
Wicked fun, halos off, just too full.
That was off of their Season's Spring album, Angels on Vacation. And so, I didn't really do much today. I took a nap in the afternoon. I slept from like 1:30 to like 3:30. And I just hung out with the cats. So yeah, yesterday I played that song by Suicide, the Frankie Teardrop song. I didn't play the whole thing. It's 10 minutes long. That's over a third of the length of that entire album. That album is 32 minutes long. And so I listened to a few more songs from that album, and it's okay, but it sounds, some songs sound like they're kind of unfinished, if that makes sense. Like, it sounded like they were short a band member while they were recording it. I don't know. I can't really explain it, but like a band member called in sick that day that they were recording. If you listen to it, you'll see what I mean. But like I said, if I was alive in the 70s and bought that album and got home and put it on and heard that song, I would get right back into my Pinto and drive straight back to the record store and return it. But my favorite song on that album is Cherie. And so I'm going to close out this audio journal and sign off. I will leave you with that song. And so I will talk to you later.
I love you. gambling.